Our text this evening is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 16, and we're not going to read the text as we normally do. The reason for this is because it is somewhat long, as it's 16 verses, but also in that it's referred to and used often in the body of the sermon. You will probably recognize Hebrews chapter 11 as the great chapter in Hebrews on faith. A very fitting text as we talk this evening about the power of logical faith. You know, throughout the world today, faith is questioned by some as that which is illogical. There are those who put forth the idea and think that those that have faith are doing that which is illogical, or that they base it upon something that is without power. We will find this evening as we discuss this subject that faith is very logical, and that indeed that it is based upon that which is power, which provides power, and which came with power. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, we find the words of the Apostle Peter as directed and guided by the Holy Spirit, as he wrote in this general epistle, and he says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." And one only needs to read the second chapter of the book of Acts to see that which occurred following Jesus telling his apostles to go and wait in Jerusalem, and you will receive power from on high. We know that in reading the second chapter of Acts that they were gathered there as directed. And then we have the events described, the sound of the rushing mighty wind. We have the cloven tongues like as of fire setting upon each of them. And we see that because of this, folks were gathered together and were able to hear the gospel proclaimed. We need to understand that power comes from faith. One of the greatest examples is that of David. If we'll turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 36. The question about him being able to withstand Goliath is the context here. And David says, "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear." He did this not bragging, but saying that his power to do these things, or his ability to do these things, came from God. He then further says, "And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." Here we have a situation in which Israel is gathered against the Philistines. As they are gathered, a challenge is put forth by Goliath, this behemoth of a man, standing there, said, "Send your greatest warrior. Have him come out in the field and meet me. And here's what we'll do. We will battle. And whichever one overcomes within the battle, then their people will serve the other." It's easy to do that when you stand head and shoulders above all the rest and have the armament and all of these things. Imagine his disdain when this young shepherd boy comes out with a sling. But David had faith. This faith was emboldened from the fact that he had been able to slay both the lion and the bear. When we look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, we see some things there that need to be defined so that we might understand the power of logical faith. The first verse of Hebrews chapter 11 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I've heard people rattle that off and wonder if they really are contemplating what they are saying. The word substance being defined is the actual or essential meaning of something said or written or perhaps even done. Evidence then is something that gives a sign or proof of the existence or the truth of something. And so we see that faith is the substance of the things for which we hope. It is also the evidence, or that which gives a sign or proof of the existence of the truth in which we trust. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 20, we find the words spoken regarding Israel. The condition of Israel's heart, the reason that their heart was in such condition is because they allowed it to be so. But it shows here why they were called a froward generation. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They did not believe. They had witnessed many, many wonderful things. They had seen the power of God exhibited in ways that others throughout time would not have the opportunity to see. I suspect that all of the plagues that were put upon Egypt should be evidence enough. But can you imagine, as a people, perhaps some 2 million strong, you get to a body of water, and the person that God has chosen to lead that people out of bondage raises his arms and his staff. And at that signal, God parts the waters to the point that 2 million people walk across safely to the other side. That's some pretty convincing evidence of the power of God. In the New Testament, we must understand that this power is found in faith. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul had just said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith helps us understand creation. Again, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, beginning, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. If you do not have a bulletin, please get one. There's an article in there that says, you expect me to believe that? There are things being taught today relative to creation that they hand out freely and expect people just to receive and believe that make no sense whatsoever. But we can believe this. God said, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke things into existence. And so faith helps us to understand or to perceive or to observe that creation occurred. The word framed here means to establish, to set up, to prepare. That's what the Lord did when he spoke these things into existence. He set up things, he framed things, he prepared them for our existence so that we might have opportunity to exhibit that faith in him, to let him know that we believe in him and show him by the lives which we live. Genesis 1 and 1 sums it up beautifully. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There should be no discussion on this, because it goes on throughout the rest of the first part of the book of Genesis to tell how he created. Faith also helps us to worship correctly. Can you imagine what worship would be were there no faith? Why, it's liable to be anything. We see in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4 that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He did so through faith, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and that by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. When Abel offered this more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We understand that Cain was wroth against his brother. He rose up against him and he slew him. We see a little later on that Abraham exhibited faith. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 5, Abraham said to his young men, "Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you." And if you don't know the story, that one verse there might not mean so much. But what had occurred there was the Lord had told Abraham to go to a specific place and to take his son and to offer his son as a sacrifice. But notice the words that Abraham used. "Abide ye here, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you." He had every bit of faith that even were he to go and to do that thing, to sacrifice his son, that he and his son would return to them. In Acts chapter 17, verse 23, we see that there are those who ignorantly worship. Those who ignorantly worship do so because they do not have faith. The apostle Paul was there, and he had opportunity to speak to the people. And he said, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Now there were altars to every known God. And just so that they would not leave out one, they said, "Okay, we're going to make one to the unknown God. We're going to cover all the bases here." What an opportunity the Apostle Paul had. I have no doubt that he instilled faith in some of those people by the things that he said and the things that the Lord provided for him to do so that they might understand. We need to understand that according to John chapter 4 and verse 24, as we discuss the power of logical faith, that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This truth is what causes us to have faith. And of course, we know where it comes. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We believe what we believe because the word of God tells us. Faith helps us to walk pleasingly as we strive to worship God. Now we're going to get into our text, or part of it, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 5. We see that by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God hath translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Notice, if you will, verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Think faith has no power now? Without faith it is impossible to please him. By faith Noah, in verse 7, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. What did Noah do? He went up on top of a mountain and built a boat, specifically an ark. He moved with fear. Why? Because he had faith in the things that God said to him. God said, "Noah, go up here on the mountain and build an ark of gopher wood, and build it this way. Pitch it within and without. Put one window in it. Put one door. Make rooms throughout." He did those things that God said. Most incredible is the fact that up to that point it had not rained. I suspect that it had not flooded. But he had faith, and it caused him to do what God asked of him. In verse 8, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, Jacob, and the heirs of him with the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now here we have a situation in which it was entirely proper for him as a grown man to still be living under his father, helping to handle the herds and the flocks. And God speaks to him and says, Abram, I want you to get up and I want you to leave your father. I want you to leave all that's comfortable to you. I want you to get out of your comfort zone. I want you to go to a place and I'll show you, and I'll show you later where that place is. And afterwards, I'll give it to you for an inheritance, and you won't have it, but your descendants will. Today, folks, because of lack of faith, would say, Lord, I need something in writing. I need a contract. I need a guarantee. But by faith, Abraham did these things. Through faith, in verse 11, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Look at verse 12. Therefore sprang even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Here's a man that's 100 years old who has a wife that's 90 years old. God has said to this man, you shall have a son. You will be the father of great nations. Yes, there was some doubt. Sarah laughed. But she conceived. Well past the years when a woman bears children. And bore the child of promise. Therefore sprang even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. It is interesting that today we are the children of Abraham through faith. Faith in God's word. Faith in what he has given us so that we might endure patiently. No, physically we're not Abraham's children. We all descended from Gentiles. But spiritually, we are part of that innumerable group. Those who are more numerous than the stars in the sky. Verses 13 through 16 tells us what these folks went through, or some of the things that they went through. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims here on this earth, or on the earth. There's a song in many of the songbooks, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. There's a home for us somewhere. And I think it specifically says somewhere beyond the blue. Verse 14 says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Look at verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Jesus Christ even told his apostles that he was leaving. And when he left, he was going to prepare for them a place. And if I go and prepare for you a place, I will come back. He would receive them so that they could be where he was. We understand through faith that he went to heaven. The purpose of him going was to prepare for us. But we have to have faith or we're never going to go there. We have to have faith or we're never going to enjoy the promised land. Faith is an idea that is not isolated to the New Testament. Some folks may even think that faith, or the power of faith, is just a New Testament thing, a more recent thing. in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Tells us, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. There it tells us that we are to live by faith. We're also told that we must contend for that faith. In Jude, verse 3, we're told that we not only are to contend for that faith, but we are to earnestly contend for the faith. Jude writes and says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It has been fully delivered to us, and we must believe it enough to stand up and to fight for it. As we dwell in that faith and contend for it, we show evidence of the faith that we have. And it also shows that we have further developed that faith. Again, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, another passage on faith that most people are able to quote. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if faith comes by hearing God's word, we understand faith when we hear the gospel. Those on Acts chapter 2... who heard the gospel as it was first proclaimed in the New Testament age were pricked in their hearts. They came to a new understanding. What was that understanding? That they had crucified the Son of God. They were pricked in their hearts. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were told what to do, and because of their faith, they were obedient. Along with that faith, when we hear the word of God, we receive the power of the word of God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the apostle Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There is a valid reason why he is not ashamed of the gospel. That reason is because that gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That gospel is that which brings salvation to mankind. That gospel is that which he was proclaiming. Notice, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that goes right along with the word of God. The gospel was offered first to the Jews, because they're God's children. They were the ones who were chosen to bring the Christ into the world. And so Christ brought the gospel. They were given opportunity to obey it, and some did. Others refused, rejected God. And so, according to God's plan, so that the seed of Abraham might be as innumerable as the sands by the seashore, folks such as Paul and Peter proclaimed that gospel to instill faith in those people. When the gospel is preached, the power of that gospel is available to those who have the faith to accept it, to believe it, to obey it according to God's plan. You might think of it this way. You can take a battery and put it in a car and leave the cables unhooked and go around and get in the car, insert the key, turn the key, and expect it to start. But it's not going to, because it has no power. But when the power is applied and applied properly, that car will start. The same thing is true when someone hears the word of God, believes it, and accepts it. They have the power of the gospel applied to them. Let me ask you a question as we draw to a close here this evening. Do you have logical faith? If you have logical faith, you will allow, or it will allow you to take the opportunity to obey the gospel plan of salvation as it's presented from God's word in just a few moments. If you have a logical faith, it will allow you to take advantage of the graciousness of God because he has offered salvation to those that are lost. He has offered salvation to the penitent, erring Christian in what is sometimes called the second law of pardon. What is God's plan of salvation? Most people can rattle it off, count on their fingers, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. But friends, that's not where it stops. Hear? Yes, we are to hear. In John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is Jesus talking. And it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. They're also to believe. John 8:24, again, Jesus talking. He said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Having heard, having believed, we are to repent. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, following that first gospel sermon in the New Testament age, when Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, it's because they asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Notice what had occurred. They had heard the words of Peter's mouth and the 11 as they preached. They believed, and therefore they asked the question. So he told them the next thing to do is to repent. And when they repented, and when they were baptized, they would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is the promise of eternal life. They're also to confess. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, we find Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch. The Bible tells us that as they rode along in the chariot, Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Somewhere along the way, the realization of what he needed to do occurred to this eunuch. The understanding of what he needed to do, because he now had faith, he said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We know the rest of that story. He baptized Philip. He became a child of God. And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. And that's why Mark 16:16 says what it says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Unfortunately, there are many that think that the gospel plan of salvation stops right there, but it doesn't. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 11, we see that we are to continue. And there's a reason that we might continue. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Look at verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's no need to fall, provided we follow the gospel plan of salvation, which is here. Believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and remain faithful until death. However, it is a fact that some people lose their faith. Some people fall along the way. Those who have put on Christ, become children of God, through faith and obedience, now become erring children of God. They have separated themselves from God, but God has provided. He says in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." Perhaps tonight, as we prepare to sing the invitation song, you realize that this applies to you. Perhaps you've never named Christ as your Savior. You've never been obedient, but you want to be obedient now. We can assist you. Perhaps you have allowed sin to come into your life because you've lost your faith. Don't despair. If you've been a child of God and you've stumbled and fallen, you can be restored this evening. Tonight, if you need to come, won't you do so? As together we stand and sing 692.